I want to share a message with you this morning. It's in our series called Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. Now, we've talked about how we can live our calling by just allowing God to love us and finding a family, a church family to belong to. And I want to talk to you this morning. This is the last message in this series about really aggressively, intentionally looking to the future and what you can do for God. Now listen, it's not just about let me go do something for God. It's deeper than that. And I want to start with this one simple statement. God's plan is to gather a family that will love him and live with him forever. That's what God wants from us. He is gathering a family that will love him and live with him forever. Now, Romans chapter 10 says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord. Now, calling on the name of the Lord is saying, I'm putting my trust in you. I'm calling on you. Like the song said, I don't have anything to offer. So here's what I have, Lord. I need you. I want you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he starts into a sort of a rhetorical process, and he's really getting us to an answer. You remember when your teacher would ask you, "Now, was that a good idea? And do you think that was helpful?" And they're trying to get you to come up with the answer that was a stupid thing to do, right? God is sort of doing that, and he's not calling us stupid, but he's getting us to an answer here. So he says, "But how can they call on him?" Remember, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's the key word for today, sent. This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. So he's saying, every one of us, for people to believe in Christ, then believers have to accept their calling to be sent, to go and do something for God, to go and reach people with the gospel. They need us to do our job. And I want to try to sum this up in one little sentence today. I'm called to be sent. God called you because he wants to send you. Now, there's other things we've already learned in this passage or in this series. But God is calling us to be sent. He wants us to go somewhere. He wants us to do something. He wants us to focus on this one thing. Now listen to this. John chapter 20 says, "Again he said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." He said, the Father sent me for you, and now I'm sending you to reach more people. Again, we see that word a couple of times there, sent and sending. God is sending us to a world who needs Jesus. 2 Corinthians says this, "All this is from God. Through Christ, God made peace between himself and us." Jesus is the one who made peace between us and God. "And God gave us the work," this is important, "and God gave us the work of bringing people into peace with him." God gave us the work. You remember when you were little? Let's just say, not little. Let's go with 14 years old. And your mom said, "Go do the dishes." And you had a bad attitude. We're just going to call it like it was. If we could flash the video up here of when you were 14 and somebody told you to do the dishes, what was your attitude? My mom had a rule. You do the dishes. She liked dishes that were done with good attitudes, all right? She didn't like dishes being washed with bad attitudes. I don't know if she's afraid for the dishes or what, but she would get a bad attitude straightened out real quick, and we'll just leave it at that. You know, when you go into that, and I don't want to do it, but we have to do some things. Look what he said, "And God gave us the work." He's telling us there are some things that we have to do, some things that he wants us to do. It's not just, I accept Christ and I'm just going to come to church on Sundays and feel good and walk out of here and just do anything I want to and enjoy my salvation. That's part of it. But he said, and God gave us the work of bringing people into peace with him. And John 15 says this, you didn't choose me. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't choose me. If I chose Jesus, then I would be responsible. Then it would have been something that I did. Then it would focus on me. And he said, you didn't choose me. I picked you. I chose you. I appointed you to go. Here was that word again, sent, go. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. He said, I want you to go and produce lasting fruit. I want you to make a difference in this world. I want you to win people to me is what God is telling us. I want you to win some people to Christ. Now, that's an intimidating thought. I remember hearing a story about a young girl that she decided she was going to lead a bunch of people to Christ in 1 year. And she was, I think, in middle school. And so she would take an extra lunch to middle school every day. And it was always good stuff. And she would invite somebody to sit under the tree on the playground with her, and she would tell them about Jesus. And I forgot how many, but she led dozens of people to the Lord that year, dozens of middle schoolers, because of lunch. All right? So she took this seriously. I appoint you to go and produce lasting fruit. He said, not temporary fruit, lasting fruit. Now, what does God want me to do here? What is he really telling me that he wants me to do? I want to give you four things. First one is this. He wants us to pray that believers will say yes to God. That's a weird sentence. We've already said yes to him. But there's a next level of saying yes. Matthew 9:37-38 says, and he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Now, let's stop there. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. In other words, there's more work than there are workers. Anybody ever had that problem at work where you're like, I'm doing the job of two people and they're paying me pennies? And you know, you said it, I'm sure, with a kind and generous spirit and all that. We've all been there. They're asking too much of me. I mean, they so-and-so quit and they haven't hired anybody to fill in for them. That's exactly what he's saying here. The harvest is great, the work is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his field. He said, I want you to pray that the Lord would send more workers into his field. More work than workers, we pray. It's been something we've done around here for a long, long time. I talk to pastors quite often that will say, I just can't get people to do anything. They're hit and miss. They won't show up. And I just try to be quiet because I always say, we got so many good workers around here. I mean, we got more workers than we got work sometimes. And it's just so many people volunteering and serving and giving. But we've been praying this prayer a long time. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. So some of you are here just because we prayed you would be here. You just showed up. We were praying, Lord, there's people that need the gospel. God send laborers, and you showed up next week, and we're like, here, get busy. All right. But that's scriptural. That's scriptural. Somebody showed up in your life before you gave your heart to Christ. Somebody was producing lasting fruit. Somebody in your life took time to love you and care for you and share the gospel with you and be there for you along the way. And he's telling us now is your chance to do this again. You know, there are studies that show that the more we focus on ourselves, the more miserable we become. Just focus on me. And here's what we do. We say things like this. I'm just going to focus on me right now. I'm going to get me right. And then I'm really going to do something for God. And we don't realize just how dumb we sound when we say that stuff. Because it's just the opposite. When I just focus on me, I just get more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. He understood that if we will do this his way, we will find joy and we will find fulfillment and we will find contentment in that journey. So we're praying that believers say yes to God. Now, get in the harvest. Here's number two. Give to help others who are sharing the gospel. So the word give up there is not a metaphor. It means money. All right, just stay with me. Look at me and smile. All right. Give to help others who are sharing the gospel. Now, so in 3 John, it says this. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. These traveling teachers would be more like missionaries to us today. He said, so when they show up, you're supporting them and you're sending them on their way. Now, they're strangers to you. You don't know them very well. They don't look like you or act like you, but you have the same faith. Your faith is in Christ. He said, so you're being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. Now, watch what he says in verse 6. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. He said, you've done so much for them. They're telling us about you. They're bragging on you. They're thankful for you. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God, for they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. Now listen, you and I may never become missionaries in Africa or Europe or South America or wherever seems far off to you. We may never become missionaries. But when we give, watch what the last verse says. When we give to people who are doing the work, so we ourselves should support them so we can be their partners as they teach the truth. We're partners. We're saying, I want to support what you're doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Now next year, in 2024, we're going to do a thing here at Grace Point that we're calling the 365 Challenge. And 365 is just 365 days of the year, we're going to give away $100 a day to missions, to people around the world who are getting it done, and we're going to partner with them. Or we can just send everybody to Africa and South America, and we can just sign you up today. Which one you think works best? I would say, let's just all stay in Irving and let's send some money, all right? When somebody is called, though, they need the resources to go. So as a church, we're going to give away $36,500 next year. $100 a day to missions. We're gonna partner every month. I'm gonna update you on the missions project of the month, and we are gonna support missionaries in Zambia, Africa. We're gonna support missionaries in Greece. Let me tell you a little bit about Greece. I just recently met a tremendous missionary, and he and his family are in Greece, and they've been living on a little island where refugees from the country of Turkey are leaving on these little boats, and they're just trying to get away on the Mediterranean Sea, and they show up on this little island because it's the only place to land, and then when they get there, they're not Christian. And so this missionary, he's got a whole group of people that are there to help. And they give them shelter, they give them food, they give them clothes, they give them water, and they give them Jesus all at the same time. Now listen, I would have never even known that little island needed any help until I met him. All right? So that's one of them. We're going to help with doctors in Zambia. We're going to help in Israel. We're going to help in Honduras. We're going to do all sorts of things. And we're going to call it the 365 Challenge. So we're going to give to help those who are sharing the gospel. Now, somebody pointed out to me that next year is a leap year, so there's 366 days next year. And I said, well, don't be a smarty. I'll give the first $100, and we'll still call it the 365, all right? So 366 just doesn't have the same ring. So we're going to do that next year, and I'll keep you updated, and we'll talk about it, because I believe that it's so important for us to be involved in missions around the world. He's telling them here, hey, keep doing it. Keep doing it. You're partnering with them. Here's the third thing. Step out in faith. Step out in faith. We, as humans, we naturally like to play it safe. anything that's dangerous, you know, what do? We immediately start telling our kids, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I love the parents who are like, go ahead and try it. My theory was always, if you break your arm, I know where the hospital's at. We'll figure it out. But I don't want you to sit back here and be scared about life. I want you to be brave. And I believe our Heavenly Father wants us to be the same way. He wants us to be brave when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at what Isaiah said, Isaiah 6. Let me give you some background on Isaiah. Isaiah is just starting his prophetic ministry. And this is really the first thing we find out about him. And he's worried about not being perfect and not being clean before God. And go back and read it later, Isaiah chapter 6, right in the beginning. And the Bible says that God took care of his sin, and then he presents this problem. God presents a problem. Like, I need somebody that will go and do this thing for me. And Isaiah said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Now, what if that was our prayer today? What if we woke up tomorrow morning and instead of saying, God, here's my to-do list. I really need your help with all the stuff on my reminder list today. If you just bless me today to do all this stuff that I got planned. Instead of doing that, we woke up and before our feet ever hit the ground, we said, Lord, I know you're doing some cool stuff around the world today. I know you're blessing some things that are today, and I just want to be a part of it. Can I just be a little part of it, Lord? Show me what you're doing. Show me what you're blessing, and then let me be a part of that simple little thing. I'm not asking you to just take care of what I'm doing. I want to be a part of what you're doing. Psalm 67 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Here's what the psalmist is saying. God, we want you to bless us so that we can tell people about you. We need your help so we can tell people about you. There's an old saying that somebody, we see something that needs to be done and we say, somebody ought to do something. And then we realize we are somebody. If we're seeing it, chances are God's dealing with us about it. If he's brought it to our attention, chances are he wants us to somehow be involved in that thing. So how can you and I take a risk this morning? What is it that God wants us to take a risk in following him in? To step out in faith. Like Isaiah, here am I, send me. What if that was our prayer today? No caveats, no fine print. We just said, God, here am I, send me. Just use me today, Lord. What are you trying to accomplish, Lord? I want to be a part of it. I just want to serve you. Here's the fourth way we can honor the Lord. Just do what I can do now. Now. Most of us make plans with no date. You know, we're like, one day I'm going to do this really cool thing. One day. We say that a lot. One day. When things are better, one day. And really, who cares about what happens one day? Because it might not happen anyway. But what am I going to do now? I heard a man that I deeply respect. He said, if you live your life as a servant, your work is always done. Because you're serving every single day. What can I do now? There's a beautiful story in the Bible of a man who was Jesus set free from demon possession. This man was known far and wide for being possessed by demons. And he was living, the Bible said he was naked. They would put chains on him. He would break the chains. He was living in a cemetery. Just an awful, terrifying scene. And then he has an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus sets him free completely. Completely. And look at what happens in verse 38. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away. No. Look at this. Imagine this scene. This guy's just been completely delivered. And he said, Lord, just let me go with you. I just want to go with you. And Jesus said, no. You cannot go with me. Look at verse 39. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. He was saying to this man, look, you hang around me. Can I say it like this? You can just hang around church 24 hours a day. But why don't you go to your hometown? Why don't you tell people what I've done for you? Why don't you do something out there that makes a difference? And it could be as simple as inviting somebody to church, buying somebody a cup of coffee, encouraging somebody. You see, God placed you right where you are on purpose, and there's some ministry opportunities right there. You know the knucklehead in the cubicle beside you? You know him, right? You know her name. It's like, boom, I got you. I know exactly who you mean. Maybe God put them there. Maybe it was God's plan all along to get you a little stirred up so you'd have to focus on what God wants instead of what you want. Or maybe that neighbor that is just not fun to be around. God placed them there, maybe for some reason, I don't know. We used to play in the front yard of our house, and we could have played in the backyard when our kids were little. We'd play in the front yard sometimes just because I wanted to sneak up and give the people walking dogs. I just wanted to give them Jesus before they could get by my house, you know. And they didn't know they were being targeted. Every time I'm like, here they come. I'm going to get out here and start a conversation, and I'm inviting them to church today. And listen, I don't know how many people over the years have been here because of us attacking them on the front sidewalk at our house. And I'm grateful for that. But if I'm not aware of those moments, then I just let them slide. But if I'm aware that God is always, he always wants to use my life. He wants me to do something. He wants me to produce lasting fruit. And that's souls saved. He wants me to be a part of that. It can be a little bit intimidating. It can be very intimidating. If you've never just led somebody to the Lord, it's a hard thing to when somebody says, well, how do I do this? And you're like, well, here's some scriptures. I encourage you to memorize the ABC that we do almost every Sunday. You got to admit that you're sinned, and you got to believe in Jesus. You got to confess him as Lord. That's where this whole thing starts. It's about not focusing inward, but focusing on him. Or maybe you just need to invite that person to church. Or invite them to Friday night to CR. Maybe invite them, if they got kids, invite them to be here and get them involved in High Octane Kids or whatever is going on. Just to start that relationship with them. And to make a lasting fruit, create lasting fruit. Because there's sort of places that we do ministry. And it starts with, let's look at this next slide. There's really three ways to get involved. The first one is all local. It's just local. Personal. So it's the people in your life. I don't know. You don't know the people in my personal life, maybe. But God placed us there with them for a reason. Again, it might be the widow next door that needs some help, or it might be the friend at work, or you name it, where you have a connection with this person, and you say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just love them. Just love them. And I promise you this, you will get it wrong sometimes. Jody and I had a little, a widow lady living next door to us. We used to live right behind the church here. And our next door neighbor, she was a little widow lady. And I was just going to go up there and do something nice for us. I just went out there and raked her front yard. And I was so proud. And I felt so good about it. And she came out and she saw me and she said, thank you. But I was going to leave those leaves on there so my grass would stay greener longer. And I was like, I can put them back if you want me to put them back. I felt ridiculous, but at the same time, I'm just trying to share Jesus. And raking that yard was just a method for me to share Jesus with lasting fruit. That yard is not lasting fruit. There's going to be more leaves next year. All right. But if I can lead somebody to Christ, that's lasting fruit. All right. And so there are going to be opportunities. Sometimes you got to just create the opportunity. We've actually had, we haven't done this in a while, but we used to just have all the neighborhood to our house for Christmas. And we would just get them all in our house, because if we can get them in the house, we're going to get them with Jesus one way or the other. All right. We're going to build some relationships. We're going to share it. If I take my role of being sent seriously, then I start right where I'm at, personal. Just personal relationships. Who is it in your life right now that you really have an opportunity to share with? Maybe that person is going through a hard time and you can say, what can I pray? What is it that I can pray with you about? What can I do? What can I do? Can I cook something for you and bring it over? How can I help? Jesus said this, they will know that you are a believer by how you love each other. Not by how often you go to church, but by how you love each other. So there's personal, and then there's local ministry that happens. That's the church's ministry and to others in our area. You know, when we do Servolution, we're all joined, we're combining forces and we're sharing Jesus all over the place. Servolution has made an impact on so many people. Over the last 10 or 12 years, we've been doing this. I have walked into stores, convenience stores right here in South Irving, and one of our little Servolution cards is stuck to the cash register. And I looked down and I had on the same t-shirt that was on the cash register. And so I got to start a conversation. And she's like, that's y'all? Y'all did that? I was like, well, that's us. That's us. Grace Point Church, 9:30 and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to share. When we join together, we're joining forces. The Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. It's exponential how much more we can accomplish when we do this together. That's why we're not just about personal ministry. We're about local ministry in the local church, but we're also about global ministry. We're involved with other missions, organizations right now that are getting the work done, and we just get to be, as John said, a partner. We just get to be a partner with them and give them finances. In Honduras right now, we have schools that our church, our Grace Point Church, 6 or 7 years ago gave $50,000 to help purchase property to build a school. Now, why would we do that? Because those little girls that live in those mountain towns only get to go to school through the sixth grade. And then they got to go get married and start a family and all. It's great starting a family, but not when you're getting out of sixth grade. And so we started these schools, and I can't take credit for it. There are other people there. We get to be partners with them. I've been there and seen it, but it's amazing. These girls come out of these mountains, and they get to live there and stay there. And we've just had our first groups of girls to go to college from this. Amen. I mean, personal ministry, local ministry, global ministry. You're probably not going to move to Honduras. I'm probably not going to move to Honduras. But we get to be a part of what's happening there. Why? Because of that one word. We chose to accept the call to be sent. We're going to do this, even though we're not there. Acts 1 and 8. It's not on the screen, but I want to read it to you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power. If you're scared about it, ask God to give you the Holy Spirit in your life, to give you power. There's a holy boldness that comes with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'll be telling people about Jesus and you'll be like, I used to be scared to death of this, and here I am doing it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses, or you are going to go tell people about Jesus. You're going to make lasting fruit telling people about me everywhere. He says, everywhere. And then he starts listing what everywhere is. He says, in Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem when he said these words. He said, right here in our town, you're going to start sharing the gospel. And then it's going to go throughout Judea. That's the bigger, the larger area. It'd be like saying, Irving, Texas. And then he said, and not only that, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. It'd be like Irving, Texas, and Oklahoma. I don't care what you think about Oklahoma. It just gets bigger. And then he says this, and to the ends of the earth. He said there's going to be local ministry, personal ministry, local ministry, and global ministry. But it's you can't be in all those places at once. So here's where you're going to start. And it's just going to go and go and go. He said this to a group of people who barely knew what the concept of a church was. They were not a part of a church. They didn't really understand it all. And from there, 2,000 years later, there are churches. The church is all over the world, and the gospel is being spread. But there are still people who have not heard the gospel. And that's our job. It's to support people who are sharing the gospel. The Bible is being translated into every language on earth right now. Every language. And then they'll have the gospel in their hands. It's our job to support that. I can't even speak English very good most of the time. I'm not a translator, but I can support somebody who is. Right? Now, why is all of this so important? And we're going to close. Why is all of this so important? Look at 2 Timothy. It's a beautiful scripture. And I don't know how you feel about the current state of affairs in our world, but when I look at the news and social media, I just think we got a mess on our hands. Can we say it that way? It's a mess. So this is Paul, the older pastor, writing to Timothy, younger pastor. And he's really giving him a prophetic word. He says, "For a time is coming." A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Does that sound accurate to you right now so far? They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Sounds like us today? They will reject the truth and chase after myths or lies. Still sounds like us. But he's like, the world is going to be a mess, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. He's like, don't let your beliefs get fogged up. Keep it clear in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work, there we go, back to that same word. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. He said, when the world is a mess, in that first paragraph, when the world is just a mess, here's what you need to do. Keep a clear mind. Don't be afraid of suffering. Don't be afraid of hardship. Work at telling the good news so you can fully carry the ministry God has sent you to carry. I think there are people in this room and online right now that are just have been sitting on an idea, a ministry, a way to serve. Maybe it's personal, maybe it's local, maybe it's global. But you've been sitting on an idea for a while and you're like, I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work. Work at telling others the good news. It is going to be a lot of work. Because if you think God is telling you to go do something and it's not a little bit scary, it's probably not God. It's probably just you. But if it makes you a little nervous inside, oh, is this going to change everything? If I do this thing, that's going to be a lot. He said, look, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. Our job is to accept our calling to be sent. I am called to be sent. Now listen, you don't have to be afraid this morning. If I start praying that God would use me, he might send me to Africa tomorrow. No, he's not going to send you to Africa tomorrow. Maybe one day, but not tomorrow, okay? You got to raise some money before you can do that. It's okay to say, Lord, I want to start moving in the direction that God has for me. I want to start doing the thing that you've been calling me to do. Quite often I have different people that will say to me, I believe our church needs this particular ministry. And I usually say, you ready to lead? Because it's very simple. If you have the burden for it, man, you ought to be involved in it. It's about producing lasting fruit. We've been called. We've been called. And if all I do, and I'm going to close, if all I do is go through this life trying to make me happy, I will die miserable. If all I do is try to collect some cash and some stuff, and I just try to keep me satisfied, I will die miserable. But if I serve other people, that lasting fruit brings with it rewards, is what the Bible says. Now, I'm going to let God keep up with the reward thing. I'm not even going to worry about that now. But he's paying attention. He's paying attention. What am I doing? How am I serving? What am I doing with local, personal, local, global? What am I doing? I think God's going to use us to live in his calling, the calling he has for us. I want you to stand with me if you would. And listen, this is not a lesson in psychology or counseling, okay? So don't take it like that. But what I'm about to say, I believe will change, be a game changer for us. Somebody asked me just the other day, do you feel like more people are dealing with anxiety than ever before? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely. So much anxiety. I don't think this is the whole problem, okay? I think there's much, much that we could talk about. But one of the things that relieves anxiety is when I stop focusing on me. Because anxiety is always within me. Now listen, this is not a counseling or psychology lesson. If you're on medicine, you stay on your medicine until you work through it with your doctor. Your wife and your husband will be glad, all right? Just being honest. But the goal is to be well. The goal is to be well. And I just encourage you, understand the way this works is that when we want to find fulfillment, we cannot look inward. It's not about learning more about us. It's about serving other people. Most of us are so caught up in just trying to feel okay every day that serving and creating lasting fruit is the last thing on our mind because we're just trying to survive today. And I want to pray over that right now. I want to pray for freedom. Whew. I want to pray for freedom. That anxiety and worry and fear would not be like shackles. We all deal with it. But when it's just a constant, of course we all know it just leads to depression and there's all kinds of problems. We're going to deal with it in cycles. Ups and downs, everybody has it. But let's start focusing outward and upward and trusting him. Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. And this man just wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus said, no. This can't be just about you. You got to go back home and you got to tell those people. They need to know what's changing you. They need to know what's happening in you. And when we focus outward, something special happens. All right, let's pray together. God, we thank you today. Lord, you have done so much for us, and we are so incredibly grateful, Lord. We thank you, Lord. But Lord, if there's anybody in the room, anybody online this morning that is worried, fearful, anxiety-filled, we pray today, Lord, for freedom. Lord, we're not just praying for freedom, we're proclaiming freedom. We're claiming freedom this morning. That today would be the day that the journey upward starts, that the darkness would start to alleviate, Lord, and that there would be a light and a levity about life that maybe somebody in here hasn't felt in a long time, that there would be a joy just like a light breaking through a crack and through a door, Lord, that it would just start to shine just a little. And Lord, you would start us on this journey of healing. For those that are down this morning, we pray. We pray, God, that you would work and that your name would be uplifted and you would be glorified and you would just heal and make well. And God, we trust you for that and we thank you for what's coming. We thank you, Lord, for what's coming. We want to create, we want to build, we want to work for lasting fruit. And we know, God, that when we are crippled with fear and worry and anxiety, we can't even think about that. And today, Lord, we claim freedom, that today would be a brand new day, moving into a brand new era of our life, a brand new season of our life, Lord, that we can focus, that we can wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what are you blessing and how can I help? Lord, we can ask you what you have for us rather than just focusing on who we are and what we want. We thank you, Lord, right now for all your blessings. We honor you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise,
amen.
Everybody.
Amen.